How many of you remember your confirmation days without trembling? Yeah. That memorizing, I never saw the point of it when I was in confirmation. And so I didn't do it. Now, that's not what you want to hear from your pastor. I know. I am not always the best example. Are you always the best example? No. Maybe that's why we're a good fit. Because sometimes you are, and sometimes I am, and sometimes we follow what God teaches us in His law. Not because we have to, but because by the power of the gospel, we get to. And so today, in the New Testament, when Jesus is talking, in Matthew 5, for those of you who just need a little refresher, it's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And there Jesus has been talking, and he talks about a lot of subjects, you know, within a period of time, and it's recorded for us in the gospel. And here he starts off at this portion. He says, "You have heard that it was said to those of old, 'You shall not murder.'" Okay? Now, here's my question. You got up a little bit ago when we started, and you said good morning to people. What does that have to do with "you shall not murder"? And see, that's what happened in the days of the New Testament when Christ was there. They didn't get the connection either. And in the Catechism, when Martin Luther penned a lot of this, and of course it's been edited a number of times over the years, we recognize that with each law, there was the do not, and there was the do. In the old Catechism, it said, "Thou shalt not kill." Do you remember that? And then it had all the King James stuff that always got us tongue twisted and everything else like that. And then later it said, "Do not murder." Because the killing and the murdering were from the same root word. So some, I remember, because I'm old enough to know, some, you know, said, "Thou shalt not kill," because that's what it said, "therefore I'm a vegetarian." You know, and they took it that way. And that's not what it was about. The do not is that we are not to take the law into our own hands. The do not is that we are not to seek revenge. The do not is we're not to retaliate. The do not is that we are not to have anger in our heart, holding on to that bitterness, that acid within us. But instead, what are we? And what can we do? Do you remember your catechism? It might remember in the words of something like this. You should fear and love God, that we do not hurt nor harm our neighbor in his body, but help and support him in every physical need. I remember one translation said every bodily need. I like the every bodily need because sometimes physical need, you know, when we talk about body, we talk about the whole person. And what do people need today? And I think sometimes within the community called Christian, within the community called the congregation, or within the whole Christian church, we figure, if I haven't strangled anybody, if I haven't stabbed anybody in the back, if I haven't, and we have a list, you know, including shooting, you know, if I haven't shot anyone, I've done what God says. But then we forgot the rest of Scripture. Love your neighbor as yourself. Remember that part? Encourage one another. You know, if someone has fallen or someone is erring in a sinful way, you know, gently restore. We have missed the other Bible verses that impact the community of faith. And when it does that, it impacts our community generally. I remember there was a time when My parents said, when you get in, of course, we got glass doors. This is the first church I've ever had that had glass doors. I think it's nice. But when you get inside those doors, no giggling, no smile, no laughing, no goofing around. This is God's house. Okay? And when I started to hear that stuff, and I started to look around and see all the grumpy Lutherans, I thought this was the most mean room on earth. You know? Because it didn't seem to be any joy. Is that really the way we are supposed to be? And I don't mean, you know, so party-minded that there's no respect in here. But think about it. What is this room for? But to praise God, to join together as God's people in praising God, to hear God's word, to speak God's word together, encouraging one another. In other words, this is a room where we do everything but thou shalt kill. This is a room about life in Christ. And it's not confined to this room. This is what we are as people of God. It defines us no matter where we go or how and where we work in the communities around us. It is to define us in our walk with God that we are not a people of hate. That we are not a people that seek to take revenge. But the moment we get outside these walls and we start driving in Murfreesboro streets, boy, does that get tested, right? Because people cut you off and people turn in front of you and people hit their brake when they're supposed to go and people slow down to look. And thou shalt not kill. And whoever's angry. But I would like to expand this a little bit. And it isn't outside of Scripture what I'm going to share with you. I've served a congregation in Kansas, another one in Nebraska, another one in Arkansas, now Tennessee. And I have found something common and increasing. And it doesn't make sense, except the answer is sinful nature. The most blatant illustration I recently heard. There's a company that specializes in helping businesses and churches establish protocol and guidelines to keeping the place safe. Schools are going through this. Nonprofits are going through this. And I had the opportunity to sit through a webinar, which is really different for my age, you know. And they told us this. There was a shooting at a school. And over 20 kids knew it was going to take place. And they gathered at a high point to watch. Now, nobody knew this beforehand, no adult. Okay? But in the debriefing and going through day in and day out after that shooting, they discovered that the word was out. And here's the statistic that for the acts of crime that we've heard about within the last 5 to 10 years, the perpetrator has told at least one person they're going to do it. Over 85% of the time. And around 60 to 65% of the time, they told two people. And the people didn't do anything. Now, what does that have to do with you? I think those numbers are a reminder that we cannot be passive about love. I I think we need to be intentional, and we try to be, about not hate. Okay? We are a church that proclaims life begins at conception. So we're a church, a denomination. We're a people of God that believe in God's gift of life and God's love to us in Jesus Christ. That much we proclaim, I think, very well. But sometimes when we think about our walk with God and we think about the Ten Commandments, we think, well, I haven't killed anybody. Not yet. You know, I've lost my temper, but I haven't killed anybody, and therefore I've kept the law. But the reality is, have you loved? Because the opposite of anger and the opposite of hate and the opposite of that bitterness is what God gives us in Christ, and that is His love. And for you to get up this morning and come here is, in one sense, an act of love. It is to encourage one another, to lift up one another, to hear about the prayers that are submitted, you know, for one another. And even people we've never met or maybe never met. They live in other states. But we care about people. For you to get up this morning and stand up after you just got comfortable, you know, pastor made you move, I got it, you know, and to shake hands and say good morning is an act of love. It is to be welcoming. And the other point is this, for you to get up and get here and realize who's not here. That's right. To realize who's not here and to call them or text them or email them, to reach out to them, is an act of love. Because the statistics are showing that maybe 30 to 35% of membership is in church on a Sunday. Statistics are showing us that people have stopped going to church after missing for so many weeks and months. Statistics have said all the mainline denominations are declining. You all knew this stuff, right? Okay? Then even though you haven't killed someone, and even though you don't hold hatred in your heart, the challenge for us and an opportunity for us is to show love. We cannot be passive. We cannot sit on a bridge and say, oh, let's watch. Let's watch the disaster. Let's watch the harm. Let's watch. I didn't start it, you know. And do not claim our own innocence. That being passive or being neutral is okay in the scriptures. Because I have never found a Bible verse in the scriptures that says, do nothing. You know, absolutely nothing. Do not pray for them. Do not call them. Do not love them. I have never found that in the scriptures. Have you? The opposite of this violence is not passive. It is active love in Christ. And in all the congregations I've served, I've heard it at least once in every congregation that when someone didn't come, whether it was intentional because they were mad or whether they were sick, I've heard this. I was surprised that nobody called me. Do you understand that remark? And do you know what emotion that was expressing? That they weren't cared for. That they weren't loved. They weren't part of the family. We have a mission. The mission isn't simply thou shalt not kill, and to do that, or to avoid killing, okay? The mission is we have the opportunity, not because we have to, but because we can, we have an opportunity to show love. To love our neighbors as ourselves. To intentionally greet one another is to no longer just to be pew potatoes. You've heard that phrase before, probably. You know, it's where you sit here and you do nothing. You don't do the Lutheran aerobics. You don't get up, stand out, right? Sit up, you know, for the whole service, you know. And if physically, and I have that, I have a knee brace on today. If it's hard to get up and down, even in our heart, we're rising and sitting, rising in our heart, proclaiming glories to God. This is not a time in our world, in our culture, especially here in America, where we want to be passive, that is to do nothing. And each of you have the opportunity to love somebody just because you can. Unconditionally care. You all have that. All of you are busy. I got it. All of you have things and responsibilities. I got it. And I'm not trying to make your life more chaotic. But if you really want to show love, it takes action, doesn't it? And so I want to encourage you today to recognize, yeah, I remember the time in the catechism and said, thou shalt not kill. And Christians said, well, check, I haven't done that one. And then when the pastor, Pastor Hanisch, taught me confirmation, and then when he said, you shall not call somebody a fool, I went, oops. And you shall not hate, I went, And he went through the rest of what it was about, and I thought, man, he hit me right here. Because I was that kind of a kid. I think that ability to be that kind of kid is in all of us. To be selfish, to be lazy, to be tired, to be physically, spiritually, emotionally exhausted. And Jesus came into a world of brokenness, a world of hate, a world of jealousy, a world of finger pointing, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and everybody else, to bring his love. Do you believe God loves you? Do you believe God's love is in you? Do you believe that God has chosen you to share that love with at least one person? Yeah. Then let's be about that mission. Bringing Christ to the people. Christ to the people that didn't make it today. Not because they're bad. Don't presume why they're not here. But let them know you love them. That you miss them. That you care about them. Is there anything that you could do for them? Remember the rest of that fifth commandment? That we may not hurt nor harm, but instead that we may help them. That's what family does. God's family. We help each other out. Amen.